if, you know, I wasn't enjoying myself. I don't want to lose it, not quite yet. But anyways, moving on to for announcements. Let's see what's on our first for announcement. Now, this is going to be announced by our special guest, Pastor Dennis. Woo!
Good morning, everybody. Hey, we had a great time at Christmas Day here. Amen? There were many people who came together, and that's what God does. He brings people together. And there were many volunteers. We got so blessed. The food was amazing, but the fellowship was even better. But I wanted to thank everyone, even we'll go back as far as Thanksgiving, that volunteered to serve here at church on a holiday and to welcome people the way that they were welcomed. There are people who felt that this was their family, that this was their home, that this is where they belong. And that is what God wants to do and has done through each and every one of you. So we do look forward to a new year. And again, I just really want to thank everyone who volunteered, who cooked, who served, who was here early, stayed late, and those who struck up conversations, because that's what was really the hit, was watching people talk to each other and to communicate and to build a relationship. And it's a beginning. And if there's a beginning, it has one way to go. It's going up. Amen? So I want to say thank you again. And just, Lord, I just ask you to repay them 100-fold for what they poured out. So I'll turn it back over to, and these are some of the photographs in case you weren't able to be here. Again, the food was amazing. There was an abundance. You know, God has a way of not doing things just a little bit. He always does them over the top. And praise God for that. Again, thank you for all, and see you again next year.
Thank you.
Just remembered. Also, after service, there is plenty of food and things in the fellowship hall that we're going to put out. Please help yourself. And take and donuts. We'll pray over the donuts. But no, there's some food, some really good stuff back there. So again, feel free to help yourself. And again, Lord's pouring out for us. So just accept the blessing and embrace it and say yes and amen to God.
Woo! Thank you, Pastor Dennis. Now, next on our for announcements is 24 hours of prayer. And what better way to start a new year than to take some time to come into this fellow sanctuary to pray for about an hour with other people who have signed up for the same hour. Now, I'm sure you've noticed on your way in, there's a big white sheet with all these times written on it. And all you need to do is pick a time and write your name. And yeah, just come in and start praying into the new year. I mean, I think 2020 is going to be an awesome year because it's 2020 vision, right? It's perfect vision. So let's start this perfect vision with God. Amen. Okay, and we have prayer team training class, which starts on the 7th of January. It starts at 6:30. It's a 6-week course. If you have taken Living Free and you would like to be trained a little bit more on, you know, praying for other people as well, this is for you. If you haven't gotten Living Free prayer before but still like to join, this is for you. So come either way. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of insight, and again, it's training. There's no right or wrong answer. Unless Pastor John says so. So, anyways. And lastly, Daniel Day Fast. This is happening on the 6th of January. That's a Monday, just to let you guys know that it's a fast where it involves not eating meat, not having caffeine, and any sugar for 21 days. And basically, it's, I mean, you might call it a Holy Spirit cleanse. I did a little bit more reading up on it, and I'm kind of thinking, okay, I've been eating up now a little bit, but I am kind of looking forward to this now. And basically, it's just a way to say, hey, God, I don't know if some of you weren't here for that Thursday where, who was it, Tracy? No, Tiffany? Who talked about fasting, the power of fasting. The power of fasting is just amazing. And the fact that you can just put a prayer request out there up with God and just to say, hey, I'm going to put this time aside to fast. And this is not all food. You can still eat rabbit food, like I'm going to eat rabbit food. But it's just to say, hey, I'm going to take this time aside to actually dig more deeper with you. And I want him to be, you know, like not just answering my prayers, but just to be, you know, just to devote that time to say, hey, you are my God, and I'm going to put you first. So that's what it's about. So please join us on the 6th of January. Don't worry, we're not going to, you know, keep tabs on you. We're not going to keep asking you, hey, are you eating meat? No, that's just me. I might ask that every now and then. But no, just kidding. Anyways, if you'd all like to stand up, turn to the person next to you and say, hey, good looking. I'm so glad you're here today.
Thank you, brother. That's awesome.
I feel like the Lord is talking to the people who feel like you are end of the, like wit's end. The life has gotten you down. You feel like so many things happening in your life that you're burdened, heavy laden. And I want to talk to you. God wants to speak to you, saying, I mean, the song is so appropriate. The praises are so appropriate. Yes, cross has the final word. I think the greatest verse in all the Bible says 2 Corinthians 5:21, that Jesus Christ, God made him sin for us, in that we may be found in righteousness of God. You know, it is a wonderful verse. It summarizes in all our agonies, all our pains, and all our sins. You know, a lot of times, because if you're like me, like a knucklehead, all the turmoils that happen in our lives is because of my sin, because of what I've done wrong. And I feel like I deserve this. I deserve this suffering. I deserve this, you know, painstaking way. Yes, but that's probably true. But God has nailed Jesus Christ on the cross. Cross has the final word for it. Yes, we may be deserved to die, but Jesus Christ died on our place. That's why we praise him. That's why we worship him. That's why we sing hallelujah, because he became sin for us. All our iniquities, all our sufferings, all our infirmities has been nailed on the cross so that you don't have to. There's a freedom for you. There's a healing for you. There's a heaven for you. There's an open heaven for you. And I want to speak the truth, and I want to speak faith into your life today. You cling on to Jesus Christ today. You cling on to faith today. And God will deliver you. God will show you what a merciful God he is. What a great God he is. Let's really worship him. Let's really worship him. I want the ushers come. Not only are we going to be... The offering is a part of our worship. It's showing through our lives all the great things, all the blessing came from God. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, and you are the first place in our lives. I love the songs that we just sang. When I open my eyes, you are the first thoughts. We sing hallelujah, Lord, because you are in my mind, and you have become, you made Jesus, made a sin for us so that we may be found in righteousness of in your presence. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your grace. Lord, what an amazing grace you have given us. We lift our hands and hearts to you and towards heaven. We sing hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for the blessing that we deserve, all this suffering, all this pain, but you have nailed it on the cross. Thank you for the victory. Thank you that we are seated in the heavenly places. We praise you. Receive this offering. Receive this tithes and offering. And just it's a token of our expression, saying, Lord, thank you. It belongs to you. All the good things came from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, almost Happy New Year, everyone. Good to see you. Hope you had a great chance to celebrate and get with family over Christmas. See if we can advance here. Oh, no, I am. Statements, forgot to pull that slide. But here's the church calendar, and a little different week this week in that if you missed the announcements, we are having a combined service with Living Grace. That should say 7, not 7:30. So a little error there, but 7 p.m. we will be here. Living Grace will be here on Tuesday. And that service, I think we'll go probably an hour and a half or so. We'll take a break and get a snack, and then the 24 hours of prayer will begin at 9 p.m. On New Year's Eve and go to 9 p.m. New Year's Day. So that's the big announcement for this week. I think we are having food bank this Thursday. Is that right, Dennis?
Yeah.
On the 2nd. Okay. So Dennis made an announcement. We have an abundance of food since we didn't have food bank last week. So help us out. And if you could use any of the groceries we have in the fellowship hall or you know somebody, help us distribute, okay? The only thing we don't want to do is we just don't want it to go to waste. That would be heartbreaking. It's a lot of work to kind of collect and gather. And so since we have that, if you could help us out. And if you could use it, please feel blessed. But we'll be back. The food bank will be back on the 2nd, and somewhat business as usual begins. And then a couple other things on the radar, prayer team training, please make that a priority. It's really the basis for how we minister here, and we need more and more prayer team ministers. And Marsha's movie after church, I guess, is scheduled the 12th. Is that right? Have we released what movie we're going to watch, or is that still a
Overcomer?
All right. Okay, so she picked some good ones. She's, yes?
We have some guests from California.
Oh, great. Hello. We love guests.
Yes.
From California. Introduce yourselves. Yes. Can you tell us where in California? And yeah, thanks. Welcome. Wow. And names? What are your names?
My name is Tosh. This is my husband, Gavin.
I'm Gavin. Really nice to meet you all. Good bless you. Giving you a message from Pastor Daniel John from Samuel Church.
Yes, we know. Yeah, we know Pastor Daniel. Wow, what a blessing. Well, good to see you. Great to have you here. Wow. Okay, any other visitors? No, I won't put you on the spot. I know you're thinking like, oh no, if I'm a visitor, do I have to go through all that? But hey, dear friends from out of state, welcome, welcome. By the way, if you are a visitor, welcome as well. We are glad to have you with us, of course, any time. This is gonna be a slightly different Sunday because on the calendar, if you noticed, we're starting where is it? Right here. A Daniel fast starting a week from tomorrow. So you don't have to worry about it this week. You can watch the Rose Bowl and da-da-da-da. But starting next week, We are doing this church-wide, and today is the week I kind of teach through it and talk about it and why would we do such a thing. And so here are some thoughts for us. It's going to be a little more Bible study, but the heart of this really is this year for breakthrough in 2020. And before I get started, I wanted to pose this question to you. Do I need breakthrough? Really, should I go through all this inconvenience for 3 weeks, 21 days for breakthrough? What do you mean by breakthrough? Well, I think that's self-explanatory, but if it's not, I kind of came up with a way for all of us to evaluate where we are and what's going on in our lives. Question number one is basically ask yourself this: what is your longest standing prayer? I know for Kathy and I, there are some things that have been on our heart for years, and we are praying for them, and sometimes we get tired and we forget, and it kind of goes to the bottom of the list, but then the Lord revives it and reminds us again, and we're like, oh yeah, okay, let's not grow weary, let's not forget, let's not give up. And definitely, we know that hopelessness and unbelief are our enemy. And we are people of faith and people of belief. And so Kathy and I have really, just this week, have kind of redetermined, because I say this a lot. It's interesting when you teach a lot, you hear these words come out, and then, you know, that's the easy part. Living by them gets a little more difficult. So one of the things I teach people, I say, you know, yeah, we're in a spiritual war, and if the enemy comes against you 99 times, you come against him 100 times. And, you know, the attitude behind that, in my experience, I don't think I've ever had to pray in a spiritual warfare context on one thing 100 times, but the point of it is I'd be willing to. The point of it is I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to roll over in passivity. I'm not going to let unbelief, fear, any of those things that I know are the enemy's tactic creep into my life. So part of this is, wow, let's re-sign up. Let's re-energize for whatever that longest standing prayer of yours is. Now, maybe you don't have one. Maybe I pose this question, you're like, oh, I don't pray for anything more than once or twice. Well, maybe we should fast for that. Maybe God is wanting you to kind of come up a level into just, you know, convenient prayer once or twice, forget about it, to I'm looking for people that will partner. I'm looking for people that will persevere. I'm looking for people that will contend on earth and in heaven for God's will. So this is kind of a two-edged sword here. Yes, evaluate, but also prioritize that, yes, we're people of prayer. This is what we do. This is our number one spiritual weapon. Number two, do you make a New Year's resolution? I know people do that. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. But how much better, rather than trying to get motivated and say, okay, I'm going to quit smoking, I'm going to, you know, stop whatever, I'm going to, you know, all those things are good, but they really are based in a spiritual reality. Why not go to the source and say, you know, I'm tired of just making the resolution only to see it forgotten about or failed, you know, before the month is over. I'm willing to actually contend for this. I'm willing to go on record. Well, that's breakthrough. If you can answer these first two bullet points, then my answer to you is, well, that's why we're doing this. We are pressing in for breakthrough. All right, but I got some more. Is there any want-to prayers God has given you? Now, I put this in quotes because this is another thing that I find myself saying and kind of using as an example in my life, because every so often I'm asked to tell the story, how did I migrate from a business career, I was a business owner, into a pastor, which is a crazy story. But part of that process, I remember praying and the Lord saying, I'm calling you into full-time ministry. And I remember hearing that and kind of my answer to the Lord was, I don't want to. I don't want to do that. I kind of like being the boss. I kind of like, you know, being in control, or so you think you're in control of your own income. You know, I kind of like the perks of being a business owner. So God, to answer honestly, I have to say I don't want to. But there was a spark in me that I remember as soon as I heard myself saying, I don't want to, I said this, but God, I want to want to. I want my life and my heart before you to be in a place where this is what I want to do. Because I know the money is fleeting. I know the power position is fleeting. I know all that's a facade. And so, God, I really am going to start praying this prayer. I want to want to. Now, one of the things that God has kind of laid upon us as a ministry that we are contending for is a anointing over addiction. And what I mean by that is that we are here in a downtown, somewhat awkward location for a very specific reason. We want to be available. We want to reach out. We want to go in every back alley and every dark corner where the enemy thinks that he has human beings cataloged away for eternity in addiction. And we want to grab them by the scruff of the neck, pull them out of darkness into light. Simply, that's that. That's God has placed that on our heart. And so we're kind of saying, yeah, man, come one, come all. But even if you don't come, we're going to find you. We're going to spread out. And that's why we do all the things that we do. But I have found myself teaching this prayer to many people that have struggled with addiction. Because there is an aspect where the body craves. There is an aspect where psychologically the mind thinks this way. There's an aspect where this is what I've known for so many years. Yes, I know it's killing me. Yes, I hate every aspect of it. I hate every aspect of what it's done. But I don't want to give that up. I said, well, I can understand that. How about this prayer? Try this on. Try praying, I want to want to. Now, people say, well, I do. And that's when they start sharing with me, I hate every aspect of my addiction. I hate it. So I can pray that, I want to want to. Now, I get embarrassed when I share that prayer with a new group because I'm sharing it about me. And it sounds like pretty wimpy faith. But I hope you know, according to Scripture, that even a mustard seed amount of faith, and if you don't know what a mustard seed looks like, I have a jar of them on my desk right next door. I'll show you after service. But they are tiny little bits. And even that tiny little bit that can say, oh, I can't say I want to, but I can say I want to want to. God can use that amount of faith in a miraculous way. And so I kind of created these bullet points to say, you know, it's time. How about this January? How about 2020? How about we contend for breakthrough? Whatever that long-standing prayer is, whatever that sin that is beguiling you and frustrating you, you know, that addictive behavior is. Now, yeah, let's contend for it. Let's inconvenience ourselves a little bit and press in with the kind of faith that says, God, I'm in. I know you're going to do the work. I know the power is going to come from you, but I want to want to. And I believe in the end of 21 days, it is going to be your heart set free. And to be honest, to finish my testimony, I love that God has called me into full-time ministry. This is so much better. I don't know what I was thinking of when I was in the business world. But, you know, a lot of it's the fear of the unknown. I mean, you know, let's not go down that rabbit trail. But the point being, if I could feel now and knew now, then, you know, that wimpy amount of prayer, that little faith, you know, it would have been a non-issue. All right. So the real question becomes, not do we need breakthrough? I think all of us can come up with one thing, maybe more, maybe two, maybe three things that we want breakthrough in 2020. Amen. The question really becomes, how motivated are we? And that is really the spine behind the New Year's resolution, isn't it? That's why we get, okay, yes, I'm motivated. I'm going to join the gym membership, and I'm going to do all this, you know? And I was like, okay, that wears off. But the power of us doing it all together is that, wow, we got each other that kind of is self-motivating. And yeah, it's even though you are able to eat on a Daniel fast, there's going to be times when you close your eyes and all you're going to see is a cheeseburger. And you're going to go like, wow, this is inconvenient. And you're going to go, yeah, but there's a whole church full of people that are pressing through and doing the same thing I'm doing. So I'm going to drive past Frugal's and, you know, go to the salad bar or whatever. All right. So last week, remember this. This was a sermon point from last week that you're not alone. And I'm going to emphasize it as we look at the book of Daniel and some highlights from the book of Daniel. But this really made an impact on me as we looked at the story of Ruth, that we have a kinship redeemer. We are not alone. Jesus proclaims in the heavenly host that he is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. So this is not like, okay, God, you do all the work for me. I just sit back and kind of pray one or two things when it's convenient. Wow, this is my brother. This is my sister. We are doing this together. We are going to persevere together. Christ went to that cross for you and I. We can follow a strict diet for 21 days. I mean, there's a point where we become more endeared to each other when we do something together. And don't forget, don't forget that the Lord is going through this with us and will give you strength and power to do things that you didn't think that you are going to do, wouldn't either be motivated to do or think you could do. All right, so I want to kind of do a quick overview of some of the passages out of the book of Daniel. So we'll start with chapter 1 and, you know, from there hop around a little bit. But this is the background of what is going on with Daniel as a young man here. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, a lot of commentary on this guy. Right now, he is basically, let's just see him as the foreign heathen king that basically defeats Israel. So he came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave him victory. Isn't that interesting? So you know there's backstory here. Victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. Not a good thing. Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his god, little g, a very heathen society full of idols, terrible, basically demon worship. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men from Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only the strong, healthy, good-looking young men, he said, and make sure they're well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. Basically, strip away their identity. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens, which, by the way, the backstory on this would be, yes, offered to idols, yes, defiled, as well as very rich and bad food in many levels. But spiritually, it would be awful for an Israelite to eat any of those things. So the king assigned that to them, thinking, hey, what a good idea this is. Let's beef them up. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. Now, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were four of the young men chosen, all of them from the tribe of Judah. This is their Hebrew names. You probably know them as, here are their given names, Babylonian names. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names, Belshazzar for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is probably how you learned and easier to remember. I know it is for me than their Hebrew names. Now, it's interesting right here that you can see this is a horrible scenario in every way. These four young men are captives, literally. And now they're losing their language. They're losing their culture. They're losing their names. They're losing their identities. One of the tools God has given us to care for people is praying original design over people, giving people back identities that may have been lost, that may have been stolen or taken either by a foreign power like the demonic realm. But I was reading an article last week, and it was really interesting. It was a secular article. But one of the observations made about working with people in addiction is that one of the first things they lose is their identity. Their identity becomes the drug of choice or behavior of choice, whether it's a sexual addiction, pornography, or chemicals. This battle over our identities is a big deal. If it wasn't a big deal, why does the enemy lead with that punch? You know, why does he start there? Why is that so significant to him? Well, because he hates humans. He hates human dignity. He hates our identity made in the image of God, our Creator. So this is a battle, and I am so grateful to God that He gave this tool long before I understood the significance of praying for people's original designs. But if you haven't had us pray for your original design, we'll do it today. Come forward, and we'll pray a few things over you just to try to encourage you. But, wow, think of the situation these four young men were in. I mean, it is very dire, to say the least. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself. Now, there's nothing he can do about where he's living. He left his home in Jerusalem and is now finds himself in Babylon. There's nothing he can do about his job. He is put into this training. He is chosen. He didn't apply for it. There is no choice here. But where he has a choice, he is determined. No matter where I am, no matter what's going on, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to serve God. Now, I get it. Many of us have had to take jobs and had to do duties and do things that are in not good scenarios and good circumstances. But, you know, if you've had that circumstance or that history, think about doing that with the attitude that Daniel had. You know, no matter what job I have to do, I'm going to do it in such a way that it honors God and doesn't compromise and defile myself. So this happened, by the way, because it was predetermined. So he already had the mind and heart to do this. Okay, so he didn't want to eat this food that was given to him by the king. So this is a big problem. But this is going to be a key, by the way, that I have used in secular business life. I have used in spiritual and church leadership. This is a tool that I want you to recognize here of conflict resolution. If you've ever struggled with conflict resolution, here is a biblical model for you that you can take right today, put in your pocket, go out the door. And tomorrow or the next day, if you find yourself in a conflict, pull it out and go, okay, what is step one? Well, step one actually begins back here. Be determined to do everything godly. Step two is a humility that asks permission. Hey, is this an option? Can I not eat these foods? They're not acceptable to me. A lot of backstory to that, but the bottom line, it would be defiling. Now, God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. This is something I pray for you, meaning all of us, a lot, that you will find favor in the world. You will find favor amongst men, not just Christians, not just the church, but God's favor will be on you, as we see here with this person who wasn't a Christian, who was a heathen, but God's favor was on Daniel. So he responded, man, I like your idea, but I'm afraid my lord the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and wine, if you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I'm afraid the king will have me beheaded. Now that's a real consequence, not fired, right? It's not my pay, doc. I mean, I will be killed. Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he said, please test us for 10 days. Wow, isn't this ingenious? So rather than like saying, no, I ain't gonna do it, you know, I got my religious reasons. Boy, I don't know about you, but I kind of get annoyed by religious people that are rebellious. Okay, it's like, no, I just don't want to. I'm just rebellious, and I'm going to give you my favorite little religious excuse to be rebellious and call it good. That is not good. That is really, really bad. Don't do that. Please, use this model instead. Yes, there are religious reasons, but rather than just this toe-to-toe power struggle, which, by the way, Daniel would have lost, he offers up a solution. I checked myself in this because people tell me bad ideas all the time, right? Can you imagine that? Like, oh, pastor, here's a good idea. And I'm like, you know, and my flesh just wants to go, that's really a bad idea. Like, no, rather than just say, it's a bad idea, no, I'm not going to do it, let's say, well, let's think about this. Let's come up with a solution. What would be an answer? If you come with a solution, I don't care how bad your boss is, you're going to get favor in his eyes. If you come to him and say, well, this is a dumb thing, it doesn't work, and I'm putting out this problem, and I'm putting out that problem, guess what? I guarantee you, your boss has plenty of people that point out all the problems. He doesn't have very many people that come to him with solutions, with ideas, with alternatives, especially godly ones. This is being a Daniel. This is conflict resolution. This is like, hey, this is a problem. And man, I don't want you to be beheaded. I don't want to defile myself before God. Is there something, is there some middle ground? And by the way, I'm willing to take my chances. Let's test it for 10 days. And guess what? If it doesn't work in 10 days, I believe Daniel would have ate the food offered to idols. I believe he would have held up his part of the deal. But this is a legitimate test. This is an answer. This is providing solution to every party. That is a leader. That is amazing. So this is a key to conflict resolution. If you didn't know it before, hopefully you know it now and you use the rest of your life. I know I use it over and over again. Okay, where do we left off? Let's make the decision in light of what you see. Meaning he's going to submit here one way or the other, so it's not rebellion, okay? Rebellion is like, no, my way, not your way. This is like our way. I will submit because I recognize you are the authority over me. The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggested and tested them for 10 days. So, number one point, don't forget, Daniel is in severe conflict. And he has a heart of submission, which is really different from rebellion. And this is hard for all of us, but please learn to evaluate. You know, sometimes your idea is a good idea and other people can't buy into it, but make sure that you have a heart of submission. And this key, I think, is so godly and is going to go such a long way. Offer solution. Don't just be one that points out problems. All right, so let's continue on in verse 15. At the end of 10 days, guess what? Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young man who had been eating the food assigned to the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. This is a little bit of what the Daniel fast is being built on here, because it is only vegetables. But it's not the only aspect of why we're doing this. But for us today, I did load at the end of the message just a double check against rebellion. Because whether you do it or don't do it, that's between you and God. Don't report. After today, let's not even talk about it to each other. If you feel called to do this before God, then you do it before God. I'm not a scorekeeper. Don't let me know. If you decide not to do it, that's fine by you, fine by me too. But if you decide not to do it, just because that guy up there said to do it, that scares me. That could be rebellion. I'd rather you just say, no, I got some legitimate reasons, which I'm sure there are some. I'd rather you just say, you know, I choose not to. But if you feel that toe-to-toe, you know, man, that let's smoke out rebellion, because you don't want that in your game. That's going to confound you and do greater damage than any 21-day fast will do. Okay, but look to the payoff. So not only are they healthier, but God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding. I would like that. Now, I don't know about you, but if this is a byproduct, if this is a little perk for just saying, God, I want breakthrough, which is why I'm doing this, and along the way, I get an unusual aptitude for understanding, yeah, I'll sign up for that. I'll take that too. So I added it to our list of things to pray for. I want you to know things that you weren't taught. I want you to have the ability to solve problems that no one else can solve, to untie knots of people's lives that have been knotted for years and years and years. That's what this is. This is this unusual God-honoring aptitude. So they could understand every aspect of literature, wisdom, and God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret meanings of visions and dreams, which is very important here as we have committed to the spiritual gift of prophecy. Man, we need interpretation. We need application. We need other gifts to go with those spiritual gifts. So I kind of put this little chapter out here in space alone because I'm thinking, man, God, if this is a bonus to breakthrough, we need it. As a church, we need through it. Breakthrough in 2020 is important, but trusting God is a key to life you will use forever. And by the way, that's really the difference between rebellion and submission or humility. I will come up with a solution, but no matter what the outcome is, I'm trusting God. So Daniel said, hey, this is a problem. Let me offer a solution. But he trusted God. And his heart before God was not to be right, not to win an argument, you know, not to be more spiritual. But his heart before God was to trust God that even in this foreign land, in this awful situation that he found himself in, that God would provide for him. Daniel was determined, motivated, not to defile himself. It will get difficult. That's why I wanted to spend a whole Sunday talking about this, because it's easy to put on our calendar and kind of forget about. But again, 21 days, that's the longest fast that we do. Man, about day 18, 19, 20. If I remember last year, it gets a little difficult. All right. Daniel chapter 1, verse 18. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom, I underline this because every year, not every year, but for several years, I've taught through this. So I'm pretty familiar with this passage. But this year, this next sentence really jumped out to me. And I know it was there last year, right? The text didn't change. But for some reason, it had neon flashing lights this year. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, we'll take that. We'll add this to the list. Not only unusual aptitude, but he consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment. Isn't that a great concept? Balanced judgment. Okay, I'm adding that to my list for us, for all of us. He found them, and I didn't notice this either, but again, this also had the neon lights behind it. He found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. 10 times. Has it always said that on there? They were 10 times more wise, more capable. Now, the word for enchanters and magicians could also be wise men, could also be magi. Now, I know we just taught through the Nativity and Christmas, but and I think I've shared with you my opinion who the magi are. I believe the magi are descendants of these guys. It's the same phraseology, and Daniel's ministry was so powerful and influenced him for so long that 700 years later, they recognized the star and went to Bethlehem to worship the coming king. I believe they came from this region that at this time is called Babylon. So, man, 10 times more capable. Daniel remained in the royal service until the first year of the reign of King Cyrus. Now, this is another thing that jumped out at me, and I don't want to go down a rabbit trail here, but church, you need to know this name, King Cyrus. This just came up in our news. Actually, it was quoted by Benjamin Netanyahu, kind of the prime minister of Israel. They're in a state of trying to form a government right now. But at the time, he was the prime minister of Israel. And I don't know if you remember, but our current president, Donald Trump, moved our embassy from Tel Aviv in Israel to Jerusalem. Now, when he did that 2 years ago, Netanyahu said a quote that is now very famous. He says, "This U.S. president is our King Cyrus." Okay, what did he mean by that? Well, I looked it up, and I showed my wife, Kathy. I said, you know, there are four presidents, both Bushes, Clinton, and who am I forgetting? Obama, that when they ran, all had a campaign promise, and it was the same. We will move the embassy to Jerusalem. I didn't know that. I looked it up. I go, that can't be the case. I mean, because two are Democrats, two are Republicans. I mean, really? Yes. You can watch it on YouTube. It's in one of their campaign speeches. None of them did it. And then all of a sudden, this president actually does it. Now, regardless of your politics, this is not about politics. This is about a biblical reference and a sign in our times that Christians be aware of, okay? Just be a student of this. I'm not saying make any drastic decisions or, you know, dig a bomb shelter in your backyard yet. I'm just saying we need to be students of this. We need to be aware of this, okay? And so if you're not and you're a little embarrassed, don't be embarrassed. This is obscure news. It's hard to track, so I'm here to do it for you as your pastor. I'm willing to offer this service. I go, okay, here's how to interpret our news. Netanyahu, when this happens, of course he is thrilled, and he announces to the world, this U.S. president is our King Cyrus. Well, who is King Cyrus? Well, here we see him in Daniel. He's obviously a heathen king of Babylon. Okay? Were any redeeming qualities there? Yes, there is, because in his reign, he actually restored Jerusalem and restored temple worship back in Jerusalem. God used a heathen king and his money, by the way, to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. So this is, you know, Daniel's ministry, and I think Daniel's aware of this because God, in other exiles, God said, hey, don't marry the local women, don't build homes. Hey, in this exile, it's like, no, you're here for a while. Park, build lives here in Babylon. Really, Babylon? Okay. But what about Jerusalem? I got it handled. And yes, later in King Cyrus's time, God laid it on this foreign heathen king to restore Jerusalem. And Netanyahu actually said that. He says, we Jews don't forget, and this president is our King Cyrus. And I'm like, wow, for him to have that biblical understanding, pretty amazing. All right, I got to move on. Don't forget, Daniel is a prophet. Many times you don't think of him, but he is, if you've studied scripture, he's one of our major prophets. And the book of Daniel has some major, not yet fulfilled prophecies. Now, Daniel is a great book to start with if you're studying prophecy, because half of the prophecies have been fulfilled, and they've been fulfilled so accurately that people have debated and say, Daniel couldn't have been written when it was written because the details are so accurate. Well, that's biblical prophecy. You know, that's God. It was written at that time. It's well documented. As many people have tried to debunk that or tried to say there must be some kind of a trick, and it never pans out. Yes. But there's still a big chunk of Daniel that has not been fulfilled yet. That's not yet. So again, as Christians, I'm not saying get crazy, but I am saying being students. Be students of the signs of the times. Keep your oil and your lamp filled and be ready for the returning king. All right, doing your Daniel fast, by the way. Don't forget your prophecies. This is a big deal to me. We just had one of our open mic nights, but we've scheduled another one Thursday, January 30th. At the end of our fast, Thursday night, I want to hear every prophetic word that you got during these 21 days. So don't just go like, oh, I see cheeseburgers. I'm like, okay, I don't need to hear those. But something else that would be in the category of a prophetic word, because you're praying a little more, you're basically in tune to the Holy Spirit a little more, your spiritual ears are awake. Don't forget that. Write it down. And don't stop there. Put on your calendar Thursday night, January 30th. Be right here and share it with your whole church family. This is going to be yet another huge benefit of doing this together, that all of us have the same Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to speak because he's going to have our attention. And I'm just excited about what's going to happen. All right. So I'm going to skip through this really quick. Daniel interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream and saves all the wise men. In Daniel chapter 2, again, I'm not going to read this for time, but Nebuchadnezzar has a really disturbing dream, and he's an angry guy, and he basically says, unless any of my high-paid wise men can tell me what the dream is and interpret them, I want them all killed. So, that word gets out. Nobody can tell him what the dream is. Nobody can interpret him. So finally, one guy, they go to Daniel, and they say, hey, we think this guy can do it. Is this true? Can you tell me what my dream was and what it means? And Daniel replied, there are no wise men, enchanters, magicians or fortune tellers who can reveal the king's secret. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. Again, write your visions down, your dreams, and your prophetic words down over the next 21 days. And he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the future. Now I will tell you your dream and visions that you saw while you lay in your bed. Basically, Daniel saves all those other wise men, magi. I think many of them were very devoted to Daniel. But even so, in that group, there was a minority that were very jealous, very competitive, and hated Daniel, right? He's the foreigner. All right, so I'm going to skip through this because Daniel got promoted. Basically, he ends up about third highest in the kingdom over all the wise men of Babylon. So that alone is enough to kind of create this jealousy. So now we get to chapter 3. And again, I apologize for going quickly, but again, if you want to read verse by verse, I recommend highly that you do this. So Daniel chapter 3, there was a minority that say, no, this guy got promoted too fast. He's a foreigner. But they searched his life, and this is a cool verse in Scripture. They could find no fault in his character. Wow. How'd you like someone to search your life? And would they, I'm like, would they come up with that? Wow, they could find no fault. The only thing they could find that they thought they could get him on was if it had something to do with worship of his God. He was that devout. So Nebuchadnezzar, being the angry, prideful guy he is, builds this huge statue, and his other wise men talk him into, hey, let's pass a new law that everyone has to bow down, and if they don't, we'll kill them, knowing that, guess what, these four would not do it. And so basically here's the text in chapter 3, verse 19. They did that, so Nebuchadnezzar was so furious because they didn't bow down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual, and he ordered that some of the strongest men in his army to bind them and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they did this, and because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers that threw the 3 men in there. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, Your Majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men, unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the 4th looks like a god." Yeah. Whoa. This is a point the Lord has been making over the last month, and I think is going to emphasize in the next month. We're not alone. Not only is Jesus our kinsman redeemer, he's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. We're emphasized family, you know, in our Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner. You're not alone. And so this is something that I can't just teach and then say, see you next week. It's something we have to do. It's something we walk in. We're all going to get it, me too, by actually navigating this together, going through a fast together. Not only is the Lord with you, but your church family is with you. God is in the picture. You're not going through any trial, no matter what it is. How you come out of the fire will cause the heathen to praise God. By the way, in Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar bows and worships the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that Daniel was predetermined in chapter 1 not to compromise. This is the decision we have to make this week. And when they came out of this furnace, not even the smell of smoke was on their clothing. That's pretty cool. Not only can God provide, but God can provide. So it's not like, God, I just want to survive this. No, I want to come through it where not only there's no smell of smoke on my clothing, but heathen are bowing to God and worshiping God. when this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been mourning. Okay, we're skipping to Daniel chapters 10. This is the basis for our fast, Daniel's prayer life. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel is repenting of some generational things and of his own sin. Daniel chapter 10, as he started praying, a vision came to him. I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks, basically over the sin of him, his people, and the generations before him. So that's Daniel chapter 9. Verse 3 in chapter 10, all that time I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. Okay, so that's basically how we overlay our Daniel fast, except for the lotion thing. You're welcome to use shampoo, deodorant, whatever. But other than that, we're kind of going, oh, okay, 3 weeks. So that's clever, that's significant. But wait, there's more. In verse 12, an angel appeared to him. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding, so that was 21 days earlier, and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. This is what happens anytime you fast, whatever fast it is humbling. You're going to feel probably a little weaker, but it's the category of weakness that I would call humility, because you're like, I'm a grown man, I earn my own money, I can eat what I want, you know, wait a minute. I got to humble myself before God. And flesh, you are not the boss. My spirit that hungers and thirsts for Christ Jesus, that's what I want to be the boss. That's what I want to awaken. That's what I want to in the kingdom of God. So there is a level of humility as you go through this. And Daniel had that. And the angel's reporting, man, from day one, when you humbled yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. Yay, that's the whole idea. That's the reason we pray, right? Well, there's more to this. Understand what's going on here. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, this is a bad guy, this is demonic, blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit of the prince in the kingdom of Persia. There's a lot here. Number one, there's a spiritual battle that is very real. And you think, oh, we're just going to do a little prayer and a little fasting, it will be opposed. It will be opposed. Number two, you predetermined, no, I'm going to see this through. Amen. You will be victorious. You will be victorious. But I've thought about this many times, and I thought, Daniel, you know, what if you would have quit on day 20? You know, who would fault you? You've humbled yourself. You're a good guy. You have fasted. You have not used lotions. You have not done anything for 20 days. Oh, that's good. Let's call it good. Wow. He wouldn't have realized the manifestation of the answer to that prayer. If he would have quit on day 19, day 18, day 17, I think you get my point. Part of this kind of a fast is a disciplined one. Usually I'm coaching you, don't be legalistic when you fast. You know, if somebody calls you and says, hey, let's do a meal, prioritize that. But in this fast, you actually can go to restaurants. You actually can do meals without compromising it. And please don't tell people, oh, well, I'm doing this, you know, hoity-toity spiritual fast. You know, no, just order the salad and don't tell people why. Yeah, because that's going to take away the heart of this. So the point being, 21-day disciplined fast is part of this. And for him to do this, this is breakthrough. This is spiritually what happens. All right. So for us, starting January 6th to the 27th, and we won't talk about it during that time, but heart humility and submission to God. Daniel was a foreigner. I think we relate to that. We're kind of misfits. We're outsiders. But hey, he had to figure out how to be faithful to God and still live in Babylon. Well, we have the same test. And so I think God will give you an unusual aptitude. It's mostly a vegetarian diet, no caffeine or sugar drinks, anointing over addiction. If you want to do it according to the Daniel fast, there's their website. But again, you are welcome to do whatever version of this works for you. And some people like Marsha are going to start a little earlier because she's got a trip at the end of the month and doesn't want to manage it during then. So yeah, you can be creative in that, all right? So in that part, don't be legalistic. At FRO, we're asking for more. Number one, we want breakthrough. We want victory over fear. We want to be determined to stand for God. You might think, gee, I've never stood for anything. I've never done anything for 3 weeks and held to it. Well, this is your first. And from here, there's going to be many more victories that lead to victories. And number four bonus, may God give you an unusual aptitude. And remember, ask for spiritual gifts here at FRO. This is supposed to be 1 Corinthians 14:1. FRO needs all of the spiritual gifts, and we need you walking in them in real humility, not rebellion. Another goal that we've added is for entertainment, we're challenging everybody to read at least one book in that 3 weeks. Now, my wife has a basket load of books up here that are really easy reads that are really going to be super encouraging to you. I recommended these three last year, and if you need help getting them, you will be blessed by each one of these. You can choose your own book, but again, rather than kind of vegging out on secular entertainment, let's read a book that will be encouraging to our spirit. We added one this year, and it's not going to be for the faint of heart, but I actually ordered 10 of these, so if you'd like to try it, check in with Kathy. And Kathy, will you hold up some of the books that you have? She's got some others that are going to be super encouraging to you. They're biographies about missionaries. We got a deal from YWAM Publishing, and so there's some. You're welcome to come talk to her if you're saying, like, I don't know what to read. I usually don't read. Well, this is. You're welcome to use Kindle or. Yeah, there she is. So right up here, my version of Kindle is my wife Kathy. She reads to me at night, so I can close my eyes and read a book because she's reading it. But real quick on this placebo book, Kath, how would you describe this? This is a gentleman that had, basically died.
Yeah. It's not for the faint of heart, I can tell you that.
It's a easy read, but a very deep spiritual issues.
It's thin, tiny words, but it has a punch. And it's a book that you could really just sit around the coffee table with other people or a cup of coffee and just be like overwhelmed together. And but at the same time, it's very convicting. And I've read it twice, and I will read it again because it had so much in it. And I just really loved it. So if you have any more questions, you can ask me. This is just a little devotional. And if maybe you're not a reader, or maybe you have a hard time reading, these are like one-page things a day, and they're very simple. But I just break off the curse that people say they can't.
Yes.
Or concentrate. Amen. Or my brain just is always here. I think we've said that so many times we believed it, and we don't even want to try. So this is something very small, very easy. And the other books are Heroes of the Faith, but they're ordinary people who did supernatural things for the Lord. Just like us, we're heroes of the faith. And so these are different ones put out by Youth with a Mission, but they're easy reads, they're fun, and they're very encouraging to see how God used people and how he can use us. And so don't read it and go, that's that person, I could never do that. That's what these guys thought. But they just kept going one step at a time, one prayer at a time. And you will be really encouraged by that. And that's why I love reading these kind of books, because they're very encouraging.
Any of you that are dating, I do recommend that one she's holding up right now, C.T. Studd. That's my recommendation for how to Christian date. So, okay, there's more to it than that, but that's a good one. You'll love the byline on placebo. It says, what is the church's dope? So if that doesn't get you interested, it's a very prophetic book, so I'm not claiming that it's holds the same level as Scripture does, but as Kathy's right, it's very good to use in convicting. So I want to end by this. We can do this in like 4 minutes. One of the things that we don't want to proceed with is an attitude or a spirit of rebellion. And I know we've gone through this worksheet before, but it's just really short. I want to evaluate so we can clear house Certainly for 2020, we don't want to go in with a spirit of rebellion. Certainly any kind of spiritual observance, we don't want to carry with us rebellion. Here's a definition from our worksheet. An act or state of armed open resistance to authority, government, etc. Defiance or opposition to any control. And what rises up in us is like, oh, well, what if it's not just? What if it's not, yeah, I get it. Daniel submitted to authority that wasn't just. And even a greater example of that, Jesus submitted to authority that wasn't just. There are ways to respond, as Daniel did, as I taught you today, but you can do it without a spirit of rebellion. That is something different. So let's evaluate. Oh, this is out of 1 Samuel. Remember, Saul lost his kingship because the Lord, he covered his rebellion with religiosity. The Lord has a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than all the religious stuff you do. And to heed is better than the fat of rams, meaning King Saul gave a burnt offering. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That is a hard word to hear. And stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. This is Samuel talking to a rebellious King Saul. All right, so you know the drill. I'll go through this real quick, but make a little mental evaluation like, oh, well, that has creeped up in my game. Don't raise your hand. Don't tell anyone. Just go check. And as you tick the box mentally, we'll all have something to pray for at the end. We'll close. And then remember, come join us in the fellowship hall for refreshments, but also help us with distributing food. All right. I find it difficult to accept others' leadership. I often speak or think critically of those who are in positions of authority. I often feel something rise up within me when I'm asked or told to do something that I don't want to do. I do not view my response to human authorities as a response to God. I often think and feel that I could do a better job than those in authority are doing, and that could be true, but if you have a spirit of rebellion, it will be compromised. A couple more. I find it easy to excuse and justify my disobedience to authority. I engage in speech that criticizes or discredits those in authority. I would rather believe hearsay about those in authority than seek truth. I try to manipulate others to get my own way. I find ways to get around obeying what is asked of me. And this gets deep, and I want to make sure we cleanse this out of us. Lord, refiner's fire, please come and clean us up. I use religious and spiritual actions and involvement to mask disobedient, self-will, and insubordination. I try to influence others to side with me against those in authority. My life is marked by or known for chaos, disorder, anger, rage, or being critical. It seems that nothing ever goes right for me. I know the right thing to do, but I just can't do it, or I don't do it. It may be the spirit of rebellion is not serving you. It's going to confound you. Let's stand together. Was there a box or two there that said, I could probably use a little brush up prayer, get the big chunks off? Okay, I'm going to lead us then. And let's just pray with one voice, okay? Because I take this very seriously, but I recognize some things there in my game. And so I'm like, oh, God, forgive me. I don't want it. It's worth praying through one more time. So we could do this quickly. Repeat after me. In Jesus' name, I confess my rebellious heart. I'm sorry, Jesus. I want to submit to you in every way. So forgive me for rebellion. And I break agreement with it. I don't want to win. I don't want to get my own way if it's from rebellion. And I renounce that. I receive. I am forgiven. So I command. Rebellion be gone! Out of my life!
Out of my church.
Out of my relationships.
Out of my ministry.
Out of my city.
Be gone.
And never return.
Holy Spirit, come.
Fill me
with wisdom.
An unusual aptitude.
10 times greater
than that of the world.
Because it is based in humility
and faith in you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit,
you are welcome in me.
Come now.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
See you New Year's Eve. Happy New Year, everyone. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.